This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
Bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Temple, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, let's hear God's message. Please open your King James Bibles to Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, where we left off last time. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Just before we begin, it is my great honor to invite all of you out there in radio land, internet, all of you in Brevard County, live in here, to come to my school on November 18th at 6:30 p.m. It's on a Wednesday. And we are going to present our own brother, Scott Merson, who is going to unmask the enemy. He's going to show you photographs the Lord has told him to take, which will show you the spiritual entities that are around you. We just sang angels all around, but there are also other things. This will help you to develop your discernment of spirits. Scott has a great anointing and calling on his life. He has many good things to say, and everything is backed up by the word. So you want to come to this, because when Satan comes as Antichrist and his fallen angels, they're going to do miracles and signs and wonders, and even the elect could be deceived, so this will help you. November 18th, 6:30 p.m. here at my school. Scott Merson, I like to say, and his supernatural camera unmasking the enemy. Now, let's begin Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. This is a most magnificent chapter, and it spans quite a bit of time. It takes us back into the world that was, as Peter says in 2 Peter 3:6, the world that then was, when Satan was called Lucifer, and he was good, and he sat on the mercy seat, but he rebelled and said, I will be God, and brought sin into the equation. And of course, this chapter 12 also takes us right now where you and I are into this time, just before the Antichrist comes, and then when the Antichrist comes at the sixth trump. Remember, there are seven trumps, and they mean lights, camera, action. And we are now in the fifth trump, which is a time of learning. The sixth trump will be the Antichrist pretending to be the Savior, and the seventh will be Jesus himself. Now, last week we learned in verse 7 that we went back into the first earth age when Satan said, I will be God, and he took over the mercy seat. And then in verse 8, there was a war in heaven, and the archangel Michael fought against Satan for doing that. And we were all there in a spiritual body. Remember, when you die, Ecclesiastes 12:6, it says your spirit returns to God who gave it. We were there in a spiritual body. There was a small group of God's children that did not follow Satan, so those now called the elect and a remnant in every generation fought with Michael against the devil. But the devil got all the others, the one-third and basically the rest of them, and they followed him. So there was war in heaven. And last week we got to verse 9, and it brings us back into just a little ahead of our time. So remember, I told you it goes back in different places of time. When at the end of this fifth trump, which is coming to the end now, when the sixth trump sounds, when Satan will be kicked out of heaven by Michael. Now I'm going to go back and pick up verse 9 to make that clear.
9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
Now see, when John is seeing this, it's already happened. He's writing a prophecy. It hasn't happened yet. He is going to be cast out of heaven. Satan has many play actor names. Did you hear it defined there? He's the serpent in the garden. He's the dragon. He's the devil. He's coming back as Christ. Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah. Well, we know that's supposed to be Jesus. That's why we call him the Antichrist. It doesn't mean against. It means he's going to take the place of. Now let's begin with verse 10.
And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night.
Okay, now the accuser of the brethren is Satan. Now, while he is held bodily by Michael in heaven, his evil spirit roams the earth and is producing great evil. But what he does in heaven, he goes before the throne like he did in Job, and he says, did you see what he did? Did you see what she did not do? That was a worse sin than what he did. He's forever criticizing. He's the accuser of the brethren. Squawk, squawk, squawk. Lots of noise in heaven. Lots of confusion. Now, anyone who has a drop of Satan in them is a perpetual criticizer. They always find something wrong. They're always nitpicking. Instead of seeing the glass half full, they see it half empty and they find fault. So the reason heaven is rejoicing, because Revelation 8:1 says there was silence in heaven about half an hour. It was quiet up there. The accuser is come down. And just fallen angels. They are supernatural, good-looking people. Now, it's going to be a great revival in the Christian church, except everybody be worshiping the wrong one. Only the elect will know the difference. The good-looking fallen angels will be preachers in the pulpit. They will come and sit beside you in your congregations, and they will woo you. Look out, women, Paul says, have your head covered. They always went for the women. They did in Genesis 6. All they want, they don't love you. They just want to win you to their dad. The devil.
11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
They who? I pray that be you. That's God's very elect. Romans 11 says there are only 7,000 elect here at the end time that will not bow the knee to Baal. Baal meaning Antichrist. 7,000 elect. And in other words, the reason we're going to overcome and God's going to keep us from the hour of temptation is that we're not tempted. We don't find him seductive. We find him an abomination. If your spiritual eyes can discern it all, it doesn't matter how pretty someone is on the outside. If their heart is ugly, they're not tempting to you at all. If men and women could learn that, we would never marry the wrong people. Look on the heart. And so, we overcome. How do we do that? By the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the Word of God. I always say it's this simple. Jesus and the Bible. We're not going to be overcome of him. We're going to overcome his temptation.
And they love not their lives unto the death.
Yeah, this is still talking about the very elect. I pray that be you that will not be deceived right here, living right now on planet Earth. Hebrews 2:14 says that death's name is the devil. Jesus says, I came to this earth to be crucified and to defeat death, whose name is the devil. Well, the Antichrist is the devil, Mr. Death, with his Jesus costume on. What does it mean they love not their lives? The elect love not their lives. The book of Daniel tells us that when the Antichrist comes, he's going to give you everything you want. He's coming in peacefully and prosperously. He's coming in as God's Savior, the Messiah. And anybody that wants anything can have anything. You can have your devil phones. You can have your food stamps. You can have your government, everything you want there. Just worship him and call him Jesus. But the elect, you know, Jesus told us to hate our lives in the flesh. We're not here for fun. We don't love our house or our car or our bed or our shower or our cell phone or our comfort zone enough to fold over and worship Mr. Death. It's better to lose your life. What does it mean if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? We're going to stand true to Jesus.
12, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and he that dwell in them. woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath.
Okay, Jesus speaks in parables. He's calling him the dragon, play act a name, and snake and serpent and all that kind of stuff. Now he tells you what he means. Folks, it's the devil. See, Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. The Antichrist is the devil. He's not a man out of Rome. He's not a human man. He always wanted to be God. So Jesus just made it clear that the Antichrist is the devil. But remember, he's coming back as God's Savior, Theosater. I just say, since I've been in theater, he's got his Jesus costume on. Now, why is he mad?
Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time.
Okay, in the book of Daniel, he was granted 7 years to come down here and be God. He loves to be worshipped. He always wanted to be worshipped. He's in love with himself and wants you to be in love with him too. But then in Daniel, it was shortened to times, and halftime, 2 periods of 3.5 years. But that when Jesus came in the flesh in Mark 13, he saw how hard it is. And he said, I'm shortening it for the elect's sake again. Lest no man, he didn't put the again in there, but he shortened it again. And he said, for the elect's sake, lest nobody be able to stand. And in Revelation 9, it tells us twice in English, 5 months. It gives us the analogy of the locust, and they have 5 months, May to September. And Jesus said it'll be like Noah's flood. Noah's flood was 150 days, 5 months. So the devil's really mad that he only has 5 months to make everybody fall in love with him and marry him. Now, I want you to know, he knows who the elect were in the first earth age. He's been carrying that grudge all this time. That's why in every generation, that remnant, that small group that fought him, and now the very elect, that's why he goes for our juggle. That's why he's shooting the bullets. It's such a bad, but he's got one more time, and he's going to try to take us out of the playing field.
13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child.
Okay, now, this is not Mary, although Virgin Mary brought forth of Jesus. This is an analogy. You might say we have the tale of three women. We have Mother Eve there in the garden. And before she and the man Adam could get together, there was this gorgeous, gorgeous angelic being, lower than a snake's belly. And so he beguiled her. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says, Satan beguiled Eve. Beguiled, Greek, exopatio, wholly seduced. And so Mother Eve, the first woman, was absolutely deceived by Satan. Now, the good news is God had plan B, which was Seth, so Jesus did come through that lineage. The second woman is Mother Mary. She was not deceived, and she said, be it done unto me according to thy will, and she birthed the baby Jesus. Now, this third woman is the elect lady, of which John writes in the epistles. It's a man or a woman of the elect, of the 7,000, right here alive, right now, some of you are hearing me, who will not be deceived by Satan. He's coming after the elect. He's got everybody else. Understand this about Satan. He is a narcissist. A narcissist can have everybody in the world loving him, but if there are only 7,000 who don't, he's got to go after them. Let me give you an example. One of our recent presidents was known as a womanizer, and he just had to be adored. And so the story goes that he went into a party, a room full of beautiful women, and they slobbered all over him and took his number and made appointments. But there was one woman in there that just was disgusted with him, and he spent the whole party time trying to woo her. See, a narcissist got to have everybody. Everybody's got to love him. So Satan's going to come after the elect, not to chop your head off, but to woo you, tell you good things about yourself, flatter you.
14, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle.
Okay, 2 wings of a great eagle. Now, very soon we'll be in Revelation 15, and we're going to find that those who overcome the temptation will sing the song of Moses, which is found in Deuteronomy 32. And there we have our great God compared to an eagle. And he carries his young on his wings. He covers us with his feathers. He hides us under his wings. Let me put it this way. True story. A mother hen was caught in a prairie fire. And she had a new batch of cute little chicks. So she cluck, 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 called them under her wings, the little baby chicks. And when they found the mother hen's body charred and burned and dead, they lifted up the wings, and the pretty little chicks were alive and were safe. So the elect lady, Jesus says, not one hair of your head shall be harmed. This is men too. It's just an expression. All right. And he's already, Satan and his angels have already been given instruction. Revelation 9, don't touch anyone who has the seal of God in their forehead. Now, what's this woman going to do? The elect, in other words, we realize we're here. The Antichrist will be here, but we look to God to cover us with his feathers. Understand?
That she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time.
You notice she doesn't fly away. The wilderness is a jungle. It's dark. Darkness is covering the earth. The sun, the truth, is hidden like sackcloth of hair. You can hardly find the light. It's a wilderness of lies. But the elect lady, who have the light, who have the oil, who have the truth, five are wise and five are foolish, we don't fly out of here. We fly right into it, because that's our place, into your place. It is your destiny to be alive right now at this minute, to be here when the Antichrist comes, so you can be delivered up to him, so the Holy Spirit can speak through you, so the whole world will hear. And then the gospel shall be preached to the whole world, and then shall the end come. Okay, what about the time? That means the time that Antichrist will be here. Hallelujah.
From the face of the serpent. 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman.
Now, out of Jesus' water, Jesus' mouth, comes the water of life. And Jesus has the two-edged sword, which is his tongue, which is his word, which is truth. But Satan has a flood of lies. So he's going to try to woo the elect first, okay? In other words, he's got the whole world, but there's just one group, men and women won't bow. He's going to woo you. Watch the flattery. Some of you lonely women, he's going to sit beside you in church and tell you the most beautiful thing he's ever seen. He's going to woo you, woo you, woo you. A flood of lies. I'll give you anything you want. You can have a devil phone. You can have food stamps. You can get your rent paid. You can have some bonuses. Just call me the Savior. And he's going to woo her and woo her and woo her. Let's see what happens. It's a flood of lies.
That he might cause her to be carried away of the flood.
Now, carried away is a figure of speech. Let's take a teenage girl. Let's call her a tween. She's just become interested in boys. And there's a new boy on campus in school, and boy, is he a talker. And he just goes and he just spins away with this pretty little girl. And she says, "Oh, my Prince Charming." And she goes home and she tells her mother, "He's the most wonderful thing I've ever heard. I mean, he says everything I need to know. He's just perfect. He's perfect. He's perfect. He understands me." And mother says, "Don't get carried away." Okay, don't get carried away. You know, what he's going to do is come and sit down beside you in church, say the same things your true pastor is saying to you, but he'll say it a little differently, with a little bit more to you, and you'll start listening to him. It's so subtle. He's a scriptural lawyer.
16, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth. swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth.
Okay, Revelation 13 tells us the whole world is going to worship the Antichrist and half the body of Christ thinking that he is Jesus. Only the small group, the very elect, will not worship him. How is the earth going to help us? They're going to swallow his lie, hook, line, and sinker. It says so in the Bible. They're all going to worship him and call him God. Well, what that does for the elect, it gives us a breather. It distracts his attention from the elect. And then he gets to just bask in the adoration. He just loves to be worshipped. That's what feeds his ego. He's just got to be worshipped. But it's not going to last too long. You know, Jesus said in the Gospels for the elect, when Antichrist is here, and one of the deceived brothers or sisters in the church say, hey, isn't it wonderful that Jesus is here? I'm paraphrasing, but you can read it. We are not to then say, that's not Jesus. Okay, we keep a low profile. We say, aha, aha, gotta go. That's when you keep a low profile. Wait until you deliver up to him. Then let the Holy Spirit speak through you in a language the whole world will hear. And then the gospel shall be preached to the whole world. And we shall bruise his head. That's why God calls the elect the ships of Chittim, the bruisers. That's you. Hallelujah.
17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman.
He's mad.
And went to make war with the remnant of her seed.
Now this goes back just a little bit in time. Remember I told you Revelation 12 swings, the pendulum swings in time. This goes back to the garden. He was very mad when he saw that God created Eve. And the devil knew that Messiah would come through that lineage to save the world and erase the sin that Satan had begun there in the first earth age when he said, I will be God and deceive one third of God's children. So he's mad at her, and that's why he seduced her. But he was mad at Mary, and he's mad at the elect lady now.
Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
A true elect will not fail. We stay true to Jesus because we've studied the Word. We know the chronological order of the Word. And we know the Word is truth. And not one person, place, thing, lie, angel, principality, or creature can veer us off of the straight and narrow path. We have seen the light, and we're going to stand true on the Word of God and on Jesus.
Revelation 13, verse 1.
Now we come to a chapter where God shows us the formation of the one world order, the one world government, under the auspices of Satan. It is already set up. You've heard of the UN, okay. And we're going to find out that the devil, while hell restrained right now by Michael, but he's going to be kicked out soon with his angels and come as Messiah, right now Satan's Holy Spirit is orchestrating. He's got his lieutenants on here. Everything is working toward it. Do you know that right now the United States of America has to go to the UN to get permission to do certain things? Do you realize that? One world government being prepared for the one world God, Satan. Now, to cheer you up a little bit, let's talk about Jesus' government. In Isaiah chapter 9, round about verses 6 and 7, it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And of his government and of his peace there shall be no end. So you see, Satan is an imitator. His people right now are preparing the one world government. That is why America is receding in power, preparing for this one to come and take over all of the world as governor of the world.
And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea.
Okay, sands of time. Jesus takes John right now into our time where this one world government is being formed. The sea, Revelation 17 says the waters are the people. So the people, out of this rises a beast. It is a metaphor. This is the political system. Under the auspices of Satan. the political system. It's not an entity. Now I'm going to prove that. So the first beast in Revelation 13 is the political system. You know, this is not the first time that Satan had a political system. When he rebelled, remember back in Revelation, he had his seven heads and horns and all that and kings. He has his own people there, his angels, his lieutenants, who prepare his government. So it's going to try for it right here. It's already begun.
Having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns.
Seven meaning all of the world, of seven continents, 10 horns. That's 10 supernatural kings. That'll be the fallen angels. But he's also got his kings ready here, tyrants and dictators of nations.
And upon his heads the name of blasphemy.
And all of these will not call Jesus Lord. They're going to call Satan Lord. But Satan is coming back calling himself Christ. But see, even right now, you can almost get arrested in America if you say Jesus is Lord, if you say the Bible. We have many instances. So all of the lieutenants and the government of Satan working on the earth are turning everybody away from saying Jesus. And they don't mind if you say another God, a fake God, but not Jesus, all against God. None of these are Christians. These have all given their lives and hearts to Satan. Right now.
Verse 2, and the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard.
Okay, now he's going to describe his political system. Okay, this is not a real leopard. Can a leopard change his spots? A leopard has spots. Spots means dirty, unclean. Jesus' blood washes away the dirty spots. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back for a church without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. But this means that unclean people whose sins are not washed in the blood of Jesus, unclean nations who reject Jesus Christ, are a part of this political system. Understand?
Yes.
Remember Shakespeare? Out, out, bleep spot. I had to bleep it.
And his feet were as the feet of a bear.
Russian bear. Russia is a part of the political system, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. Okay, unclean nations, Russia, fasten your seatbelt, hold your hat.
And his mouth was as the mouth of a lion.
Lion is of the tribe of Judah. Now these lieutenants working for Satan say they are Jews, but are not. They are the synagogue of Satan. The only two type churches that please Jesus, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, tell you who they are. They are the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, the descendants of Cain, and Cain is the child of that seduction that happened in the garden. They are right now horns and powers. They have created the four hidden dynasties that have destroyed America, economy, political, education, and religion. And they are working, and they are working, and they are pushing dragon. In other words, like you and I push Jesus, they are pushing everything and getting everything ready for their dad. Okay, so therefore, we have got the Russian bear. Who are those Kenites? In Ezekiel 38 and 39, it tells us at the end time that Esau is going to join forces with Mount Seir and come against Jacob. Genesis says Esau is Edom. In the manuscripts, Edom is Rush, Rush, Rush by the Volga. Mount Seir is Iran. Did you get the news? Russia and Iran are a part of this. Who are the leopards? Syria.
And the dragon gave him his power.
In other words, Antichrist, the devil, is pushing this and orchestrating this under his auspices, but they're carrying out the work. Just like right now, Jesus is on the throne, but his Holy Spirit is carrying out the work through me. Do you understand?
And his feet and great authority. 3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed.
Okay, one of the heads. Is it the leper? Is it the lion? Is it the bear? Not too long ago, there were two great superpowers. One was the Russian Empire, and the other was the United States of America. But Russia lost its power and has been counted as nothing. In the last political election, 2012, Mitt Romney said in a debate, "One of the greatest threats to America is Russia." And the current president laughed him to scorn and made fun of him, and the media made fun of him. And now, look, the deadly wound has been healed. At the UN last week, Vladimir Putin, the head of Russia, came into the UN and took it over. He was like a bully on the playground, and he pushed our president back in the sandbox, and he took over. And right now, he's fighting over there. He's not fighting ISIS. He's gaining the territory. He's gaining the territory. Now, don't you forget that America bought Alaska from Russia for just a piece of cake, and they've been mad ever since. So here we have it. Today's news is in the Bible. We are here. The deadly wound was healed, but as you can see, was wounded, but now it's healed. How did Russia get healed? Because Jesus says, by peace and safety. See, our current leadership won't fight. He says, let's have peace. And so he lets bullies come and take over him. And when a bully Russia sees that they can walk all over us, the bully takes over. So it was by peace that the wound was healed. And now Russia is the strongest power on planet Earth, but under the auspices of Satan. Russia and Iran, that would be Esau and Mount Seir. And thus comes very soon the battle of Hamath-gog. Hallelujah.
And all the world wondered after the beast.
The word wondered means depends on the beast. Now we're still talking about the political system. The second beast is another thing. That is going to be the Antichrist. The first beast, the whole world depended on this political system, conformed to this political system. In other words, if you don't worship him, you can't buy and you can't sell. Now let me caution all of you, dear Christians, who make the government your God. You look to them for your food stamps and for your electricity bill and your telephone. And some of you pretend to be disabled so you can get government assistance. Not all of you. We take care of the disabled. But you see, you're going to be an easy take when he comes, because all you have to do is call him Savior, and you can still keep your government phone and your food stamps and your rent and your everything else. Wouldn't you rather have to walk out the door into the woods and be homeless than to worship that one? I'm warning you people, I know many Christians who are completely dependent on the government. The whole world would depend on him, except the 7,000 elect.
For, and they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast.
The political system, even now, they're pushing. If you notice, they're always praising that other religion that isn't real. You know, they're praising him and praising him. Our government praises them. And the dragon's not quite here yet in the story. But all of this is to push dragon. Dragon is the devil coming as the Antichrist, pretending to be Christ. Just like I'm sure all this week you've been pushing Jesus and witnessing, haven't you, Christians?
And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?
Actually, no one, because the whole world is going to worship him and call him God, including half of the body of Christ. Five are wise and five are foolish. Half have no oil. All is truth, all is light, all is the word. But that 7,000 elect, we're not enough to fight him. There'll be no one to come against him. A one world order, a one world God. But our God still reigns. Hallelujah. Now, I hate to leave you there with that cliffhanger, but I want all of you to be saved. If you are not saved, I want you to pray this prayer with me, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all of my sins.
Please forgive me for all of my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Wash my sins away with your blood, Lord.
Wash my sins away with your blood, Lord.
Save me.
Save me.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
To enlarge your
territory.
I am yours.
I am a Christian.
I
love you.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. And if you prayed that prayer, feel free to call me. You'll get my voicemail. Speak clearly, especially you people with cell phones. You don't understand. If you take your voice away, nothing comes out but blah. Okay, and say your number, and I'll pray for you, and I'll call you back. Right now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Jesus is alive, and Jesus still heals. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask that the healing virtue of Jesus flow out through the ether waves now. And when everyone is listening, Father God, I ask the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. Let all discomfort be gone. Let pain stop. Let sicknesses and diseases and infirmities be healed in the name of Jesus. Let miracles, signs, and wonders be done in the bodies. Let missing body parts grow back. Let there be healing. Let people pick up their bed and walk in the name and the power of Jesus. Let faith rise up. Oh, Father God, you're alive. With your stripes we are healed. And we ask that you will extend life of those on the deathbed. Get up, arise, take up your bed and walk in the name of Jesus. Heal broken hearts. Thank you, Father. With Jesus' stripes, we are healed. Now, when you call, you might like to call and tell me you were healed. And I'd like to ask you to please call and tell me that you are listening to my program and tell me on which station you're listening and tell me that you love me because I certainly do love you. If you need prayer, leave your prayer request on my machine. I want to invite all of you to come to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m., Word and Prayer. Come each Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., Word and Prayer. And don't forget our own Scott Merson's Unmasking the Enemy, November 18th, 6:30 p.m. here at my school. Now, you want to go out this week and win souls to Jesus. You're not called to sit around and just love this word. You're supposed to go out there and do it. Everything you get is given to you to give away. If you keep it, you're going to implode. Give it away, give it away, give it away. And God will, you empty your basket, God will fill it again. Now remember this when you think of Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. God bless you richly. I love you, and God willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Can you take me back? I am, break me into who you want me to be. When the time is finally right, will you open up my eyes, show me everything you want me to see? This life is not my own. To God offering I bring. You want more than what I sing. Can I give you every part of me? And turn these pennies into gold. Take this life I call my own. Until I'm running after your heart, I'm needing to let go.
To come, I smile. our God is a consuming fire, a burning holy flame with glory and freedom. Our God is the only righteous judge, ruling over us with kindness and wisdom, and we will keep our eyes on you. We will keep our eyes on you. A mighty fortress is our God, a sacred refuge is your name. Your kingdom
calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
Keep singing, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy.